This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Dennis, you and I yesterday discussed the benefits of the three-day weekend, right?
We did.
And the fact that we both like the three-day weekend to mean the absence of going back to work on Monday.
Correct.
We like that part of it.
Monday should be the third day.
Right. The best part of the way that lays out is that on the second day of the week, my man Chip Patterson is here. Gosh, I'm so excited. CBSSports.com, Cover 3 podcast moderator. I talked about you yesterday. I did. I talked about how right you were about East Carolina's defense being the deciding factor in how that game played out. And I got a little flack for not celebrating that more because obviously the shinier object there is how NC State's really dreams almost got shattered, maybe should have gotten shattered. But I thought the Pirates' defense, especially in the second half, was awesome. Absolutely outstanding. I don't know if NC State was being more vanilla intentionally because of what's coming up in less than a month. What were your thoughts on what we saw in the second half?
Well, let's start right there, because whether you're being vanilla, whether you're talking about X's and O's, one-on-one battles were being won at the line of scrimmage with blue chip or well-developed players for NC State, with potential future pros for NC State, losing those battles to ECU's defensive front. Not good.
Yeah.
Not good at all. You know, we'll make a lot about the turnovers, which are, you know, not ideal and certainly would have turned this into a very different game. We feel a lot differently if NC State has two more touchdowns about that final score.
Sure.
But the fact that it was so difficult to even get the ball across the goal line, I think, is a huge concern. NC State's offense, on paper, great. Individual parts I love, and I just can't stand the way that they look when you're just watching them take care of business. They're not the only team in college football, and not even the only team, you know, at the Power Five level that has that that trait about them. But it is frustrating, and I understand that, you know, sometimes that we are going to look at the way that they handle their business or the play calling. Sometimes you just got to like say that things need to click, things need to gel. That group has too much individual talent for them not to be able to put that game away, because they nursed that lead for far too long when they could have put the game away. And then you allowed the confidence to build. You allowed Dowdy Ficklin Stadium to wake up. And that's what made the end so tense, was that it felt like everything was breaking the Pirates' way until it absolutely was not.
When Keaton Mitchell got loose down the sideline, I thought, oh my gosh, they're going to do this now. Then they got to the 30. I just didn't understand how NC State managed the clock in the last minute and a half of that game. But the second straight goal-to-go situation, when they got it down to inside the two, it was a great run by the freshman, Kama Sutra. That's not his name.
Emi Krangle?
Yeah, I love him. Absolutely love him.
Hard runner. I mean, that's...
They basically ran the same play four times in a row after that. And I'm like, wait a second. I know Devin Leary wasn't at his best, but, I mean, do we not give Devin Leary a second down throw? I mean, just let him put the ball in the air, roll him out? I mean, But it basically ran the same play four times in a row, and I get it. I even didn't hate the fact that they went for it there, even though the smarter play is probably to make it a 10-point game by kicking a chippy field goal. But I was okay with them going for it, because I just think that, I mean, you should be able to punch it in. They didn't.
Yeah, but we're gonna see them punt from plus territory. We're gonna see them put so much weight for success.
Why are you doing this?
On that NC State defense.
Right.
That is just going to be the way that they're going to handle business right now. And that is going to make for a tense season with gnawed off fingernails and knuckles so white that they look like they're bleached, the way that they continue to handle business. I still think that they're going to win a bunch of games, but it is not going to be easy at any time. Florida State looks so much better than what we
competent.
Louisville does not. Boston College does not. Like, NC State is still going to be able to stack up the wins, but this is this was concerning and an alarming game, but I guess you're just glad you won.
Louisville by the end of the season might be different, but that was certainly an eye-opening opener for the Cardinals. Real quick, you and I talked about it. We actually texted over the weekend. Like, how was the total only 56.5 for UNC App? How is that even possible?
The 10-minute mark of the third quarter was when we went over the total.
I mean, come on.
We told you exactly what was going to happen.
Right.
North Carolina was going to be able to score a whole lot of points because it has, I don't know, maybe the best quarterback in the ACC.
I mean, it's certainly a good start for Drake.
Maybe.
May. Yeah.
We'll say, because the thing that gets me the reason why I'm able to, like, sort of feed off of the combination of the excitement that we experience here locally is that also when the people who aren't here are chiming in, when people with zero expertise about the ACC, when people with zero expertise about, you know, the intricacies of the college football scene here in the state, when people from all over the country are like, man, that kid looks like he should be in the NFL. Like, that is a pro prospect right there.
No question.
And to already be that well-developed and be that strong at this point, he's going to have bad games. Might come at the TED this weekend against Georgia State. Who knows?
Yeah, it's not going to come with the TED. Well, maybe. I don't know.
We'll see. Listen, Georgia State's defense turned Spencer Rattler into the South Carolina quarterback. We don't even know Spencer Rattler's name anymore.
Well, didn't Spencer Rattler sort of do that the last couple of years anyway?
Yeah, we came in with all this hype like he was going to recapture.
It's got a great name, though.
Panthers. I know.
Spencer Rattler might be the best quarterback name in the country.
When people who know very little about the intricacies of college football, or specifically college football in the ACC and in the state of North Carolina, are coming in and dropping in like, hey, that's different. Hey, that looks special. You know, that's what makes me start to take notice, because they don't carry some of those same biases. But North Carolina was going to be able to score, and North Carolina's defense was going to let you score. And I did not think that we were going to see, I don't know, the over-under in the fourth quarter alone. I just said that
62 in the fourth quarter.
The over-under was hit by the 10-minute mark in the third quarter. 40 points for App State, 22 for North Carolina in that fourth quarter. Bananas game.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what quite to make of it. It is the most combined points in a regular season game, FBS game since 2019. It is one of the highest scoring fourth quarters that we've seen in quite some time.
First time anybody ever scored 6 touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
It is incredibly entertaining. And this is the thing that stands out to me is how close App was to what would have gone down as one of the greatest wins in program history. Yeah. And this is a program that's won national championships time and time again.
And at the Big House, right.
To be able to beat North Carolina at home with a 20-point comeback and a walk-off 2-point conversion. And he was open, too.
Open. Like that, he was uncovered.
That to me was the lingering thought as I got into, you know, Monday and Tuesday. I was like, man, and they've got to turn around and play at Texas A&M this week.
Oh, good luck.
So that is a tough position to be in, because that was very, very close. The other thing we were saying is that NC State, ECU, North Carolina, App State, no one's happy. And then you mentioned it's like, well, it's great that everyone's got an extra day to be able to like put this behind you, because the winners don't feel good and the losers are heartbroken. And as I mentioned to you, thank goodness no one had to watch the Panthers either. So
It was our poll yesterday. Which of those four fan bases should be the happiest? How would you have voted? I know how I voted. So how would you have voted? Carolina State, ECU App, which of those four fan bases should be happiest after this past weekend's games?
Duke won.
No, they were not part of the poll question.
Mitch Griffiths, 3.
Sam Hartman's back.
I know
that's a big deal.
Huge deal.
Yeah.
I was circling mid October, you know, like I was, you know, you hear the non-football medical issue, you get really nervous, you do a little bit more digging, maybe not as concerning. You start to think about what the recovery might look like. Man, it must be nice to have your surgeon also be the dean of the medical school at Wake Forest. What a life. I mean, yeah. Winston-Salem is legitimately like a great hub for like medicine. You know, so you've got all of the experts right there. But Hartman gets back in, and this is what's key to me about Hartman's return. Of the entire first half of the schedule, remember I said I'd circled mid-October? I really had only flipped one game the other way. Mm-hmm. Based on Hartman not being in the lineup. So I thought that Hartman was about a one game, you know, worth. And now that one game, I think that they get that back. I think they could be a one loss team by the time they hit midseason, and Hartman's going to be the reason he's there. Asking Mitch Griffiths to beat Florida State, I think would have been a lot, but Sam Hartman can do it. And so even that improved Florida State team, as I mentioned earlier. So Hartman being back, absolutely huge, because I don't think Wake Forest is going to beat Clemson, but given what we've seen from Clemson, Clemson could still lose a couple games.
We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But you didn't answer the question. Which of those four fan bases is happiest? Should be happiest?
North Carolina.
Okay.
Because North Carolina doesn't have as much dread and angst in its DNA. They already, we've already rebranded Late Night with Roy to live action with Hubert Davis. You know?
I actually said ECU based on how well their defense played. I actually think that, you know, the expectations for them going into the season was like 6 or 7 wins. I mean, that defense looked like it'll be better, and maybe it'll slow other teams down enough where the offense can score, you know, 30 points and win a few more games. I was encouraged by that.
And look, to build on the encouragement for ECU, USF does not look like it's improved. Tulsa doesn't look good. Like, you could just scan around the rest of the American Athletic Conference. One of my thoughts going into the year was that ECU took an advantage of a down year in the conference in the middle pack, and that they were, you know, on the positive end of that to be able to stack some conference wins they weren't getting the year before. And I was like, yeah, but they might be, those other teams might be improved. Not sure that's the case. ECU still might firmly be in that position to be winning, you know, 5 conference games, which is going to put them back into a fun bowl game and another building year for Mike Houston.
All right, let's first of all, real quick, I want you to talk very fast about Duke, and then we'll take a break, and we'll come back and we'll talk about the playoff expansion and some issues. The fact that I thought that Duke simply looked competent. I thought Riley Leonard looked very good. And the other quarterback is now a wide receiver, which I kind of liked Jordan Moore at that position.
Yeah, he's doing that Keaton Thompson thing. Like at UVA, Keaton Thompson was a quarterback when he was back at Mississippi State. Now you turn him into a trick gadget play, and then eventually you say Keaton Thompson's a great wide receiver. That might be the future for him as well. I think that when you looked at the depth chart for Duke, it was a team that had experienced and sort of a proven higher level on the defensive side of the ball. When you consider Mike Elko and his history at Texas A&M, at Notre Dame and Wake Forest, you imagined it was going to be a very well-prepared group. Duke's defense is a reason why their power rating is upgraded probably 5 to 6 points against an average FBS team since that debut against Temple. You pitched a shutout. You looked very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
I will wait until Northwestern before I'm coming away with the positives on Duke's offense. But that is at least something that I can count on from this Mike Elko Duke team in year one, is that they are going to make it very, very difficult on you to score.
All right, when we come back, playoff expanded. They approved. The Board of Managers, whatever that is, said yes, 12 teams. Now other people have to vote on it. They're going to pass it. We just have to figure out when and then how. Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuta with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely.
Good. So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people have seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value, or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuda. It is a Chip Patterson Wednesday. Cover 3 podcast moderator joins us every Wednesday. Your buddy Danny Cannell is going to join us tomorrow. Looking forward to catching up with DK. Hey, Dennis, before this segment ends, I'm making you're my alarm clock here.
Okay.
I have to ask Chip about rating Rory McIlroy's quotes from yesterday's press conference at the BMW Championship. And we're going to do it on the Scoville scale.
Okay.
We're going to use the Scoville spice scale for Chip to give me a rating on Rory McIlroy's comments. I don't know if you've heard them or read them or not, but I have, and I think they're awfully spicy. All right,
But speaking of spicy, real quick,
sure.
This was just a out of context Danny Cannell quote from today's show.
Okay.
Said, if Pitt wins, go ahead and mute me. Yeah. This man is fired up for Pitt and Tennessee and the SEC trolling that he is about to do if the Panthers win.
I hope he does. I will give Danny this credit. He has, among all of the national people that, you know, that were on ESPN, because Danny spent a long time there, he has been the most vocal about a pro ACC guy.
Mm-hmm.
I want it for him because he's essentially been like run over by a train for the last several years. All right, I want to talk about the playoff. And I'm looking forward to talking to Danny. Danny's a good. I like Danny a lot. So they announced Friday at 3:05 that we're going to expand to 12. I found it interesting. Maybe you did too. That Mike Slive, in his comments to Paul Feinbaum, said,
"R.I.P.
Yeah,
Greg Sankey.
what did I call him? Mike Slive? My fault.
Yeah, all good.
My fault. Mike Slive might have said the same thing. Greg Sankey, in his comments to Paul Feinbaum, said, "Yeah, it's the same deal we had a year ago. I don't know why we didn't do it." Did you find that as kind of sneaky funny as I did?
Well, I mean, Greg Sankey's the one who is extremely hurt and feels like he got stabbed in the back by other conference commissioners who tried to torpedo the efforts to get this expansion through in time so that it could be expanded early. Of course, we've discussed the other motives here, which include that the Big Ten, which no longer is going to have a relationship with ESPN in the future, did not want to expand in a way where ESPN was going to be able to lock up the ability to not only air all of these games and make all the money, but also be the sole place where you can find the college football playoff discussion to drive the narrative, to be able to be the owner of college football. You know, Big Ten wants to open that up and for lots of reasons, including that when, as the NFL will tell you, when you have multiple media partners, you can make more money off of this.
There's no doubt. I think the only real reason that we didn't expand last year is because the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Pac-12 were mad at the SEC. They're just flat out mad. If nothing changed, then there's really no reason, because they voted to expand, and they also said, "Well, we'd love to do it before the sooner rather than later." Well, ESPN still has the contract, so if you don't wait until after a certain period of time, then ESPN's exclusive negotiating window is still in place. Although we'll talk about that in a minute. There's a bunch of things that they list as concerns. And by the way, shout out to the liar who is the president of Mississippi State. Mark Keenum for trying to tell us that revenue was not the driver here?
Yeah, revenue was the driver. But to your point, the commissioners are mad at each other. This was unanimously voted through by the presidents. This was university presidents getting together and telling the children in their eyes to stop infighting.
Right.
And you all go figure it out. I'm going to lock this door, and until you all figure it out, nobody's coming out. And that's what they're doing to the conference commissioners, yes, with the unanimous approval of a 12-team model that was already established.
Yeah.
Now they are tasking them with getting all the details ironed out.
Figure it out. Before we get to what is or isn't important, the way I look at this, it probably pumps the brakes on the destruction, the demolition of what we see as the Power Five.
Because, without a doubt.
I mean, I think it, like, if anything solved that, it's probably this. So, because there will be access.
7 to 8 years from now, we'll revisit this, sure, and things will be a little bit more tense. But that was one of my very first takes on Friday. I was like, okay, well, if you're going to introduce a new championship format where there are six automatic bids for conference champions, there is less motivation to consolidate the entire sport into two conferences. As long as that is the format in place, then someone in the ACC, someone in the Big 12, someone in the Pac-12, if your goal is to win a lot of games and then get to go compete for a national championship, this format says, why don't you stay here where there are less traditional powers who are spending less money and getting less money, and you can be the big fish in what will be a smaller pond, but then you still get your crack at it. You get the access. I mean, this is great news for the Sun Belt. This is great news for the American Athletic Conference. This is preserving as much of the current FBS landscape as you could possibly imagine. It definitely pumps the brakes, slows conference realignment in the short term. And given how much college football has changed in the last 8 years, who knows what it looks like, 8 years from now, once we get a little bit further down the line.
All right. So there's five or six different areas that need to be ironed out. The calendar. Do you see the calendar as being a real problem? Because I feel like it isn't.
So I was under the impression that we would look at the college football playoff would be following somewhat of the same schedule as the bowl schedule, but maybe starting a week earlier, where we might have, they said that they would respect the Army-Navy time slot.
Right.
But you could have a game at 12, and then you could have a primetime game.
Yeah.
And the Army-Navy game could be right there in the middle. So we would come out of conference championships into first round of the playoffs. Next weekend, you would have your quarterfinals. New Year's Eve, you'd have your semifinals. And then your national championship would still be in that same traditional spot on a Monday in early January. That is my impression. Now, that is extremely taxing for the team that plays in a conference championship, does not get a bye, and then has to turn around and play a first-round game the next weekend, then potentially make it all the way to a national championship. I don't think there will be very many of those teams.
No, I agree.
But that is one thing that I think, if you want to draw some concerns about the calendar, it's a lot of football without much of a break for the teams that would be in that position. Again, you have to play in a conference championship game, not be one of the top four conference champions, and then go on and have a bid to the first round.
Right, but we have already established, because we know this, that the powers that be that are taking in all this money don't really care about the fact that their players have to play so many games. Otherwise, if they did, we wouldn't be at this point, because they play 12, and most of the time they play every week, every other week anyway, or each every weekend anyway. But to that end, chances that the players will share a significant amount of the revenue. I'm not saying players will split half of the revenue, but that the players will be compensated for this.
Not high for the college football playoff. You've got a better chance of seeing that with a conference being able to do a revenue sharing agreement with its players based on their media rights than I think the college football playoff as an entire body is going to be able to have with the players themselves. And that was something that, honestly, I had not brought up in any of these conversations. And when it was presented to me, it seemed to make the most sense, because we do a lot of hand-wringing about the schools sharing some of the media rights revenue with players and what that would mean on so many different levels within the university community. But if it's the conferences, seems like that answers a lot of questions. But we're still not there yet, no matter what Kevin Warren says to try and look good when he's on HBO Sports.
Right. Especially in front of Brian Gumbel. All right. So I think there will be revenue sharing with players who participate in these games, because I think there has to be, because if there isn't, then it's just, I mean, not to quote Phil Mickelson here, but it's obnoxious greed on the part of the administrators if the players who play are not compensated further. And I've said this before, I believe that there will be opt-outs even from playoff games.
Sure.
For teams that, you know, are seated like 13. I think there will be opt-outs. All right, let me ask you a couple of other quick things before we have to really just one thing before I ask you the Rory McIlroy thing. The media rights thing, I think we can agree, is probably going to have to open beforehand. And I think ultimately it'll be Fox gets part and ESPN gets part, and they'll flip back and forth. Or maybe one will pay a little more and they'll always get the title game. Sort of like the, in a way, the CBS Turner NCAA tournament. Is that a fair guess at what's going to happen here?
No idea. Truly no idea.
Okay.
Well, where are you at with the schedule? Because I think there's no way you go deeper into January, and I think that the
I agree. I think it's that part of the schedule stays the same.
Yeah,
that part of the schedule stays the same, and I think you were right. Quarterfinals will be about 2 weeks before the semifinals, which will be right around the first of the year, and the quarterfinals will be the New Year's Six games that aren't the semifinals, because there's four of those. Two, we understand. All right, revenue distribution. I read your colleague Dennis Dodd's piece today on CBSSports.com. Is the ACC, and I realize that they have no leg to stand on here, but is the ACC really going to stand for the Big Ten and the SEC splitting half, and the ACC, Big 12, and Pac-12 splitting 30%? Are we headed to that distribution, or should it be, which might work out the same way, more merit-based? So, look, if the SEC has four of the 12, then you get more money. Shouldn't it sort of be that way?
Well, it should be that way in the same way the NCAA tournament has to do with units.
Right.
Where you get a team in, you get a unit. That team advances, you get another unit.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it works out is you then are able to say it is a meritocracy, but you know in the back of your head that the SEC and the Big Ten are going to have double the amount of teams of everyone else, and those teams are probably going to go farther than everyone else, and it's going to end up being a split that might be closer to a 50-30-20 situation.
That'd be fine then.
But, you know, that was my prediction. I don't know if they're going to be able to draw the line in the sand after the top two the same way that they drew a line in the sand after the Power Five when they created the revenue distribution for the college football playoff. You know what's going to end up happening? It's going to get decided with some backroom deals during these conversations. I mean, this is, you know what the ACC is going to do? You know what its leg to stand on is? Don't raid us and we'll vote for less money.
No, because then in 12 years, Clemson will just leave and Florida State will just leave and Miami will just leave. So, can't make any deals like that. All right, to Rory McIlroy's quote, which I loved. And on the Scoville heat unit scale, zero being just a green bell pepper and 10 being a Carolina Reaper. Chip Patterson. Rory McIlroy's at the BMW Championship in Wentworth, England. It's the signature event. It's like the Players' Championship of the European Tour, the DP World Tour. So he's talking there. He's being asked questions because there are 18 players in the LIV series who are playing there. And he says, and I'll read you two different quotes, but we are all going to tee it up on the first tee tomorrow, and we are all going to play 72 holes, which is a novelty for them at this point. And then we'll go from there. And the final parting shot was, they are going to be pretty tired on Sunday. Mm. It will be the fourth day.
Give me a Scotch bonnet as my as my vote right there. I think that's probably Scotch bonnet spiciness, somewhere between that and habanero.
It's
low fours, you know, out of five, but somewhere around there.
Gosh, it's awesome. Rory wants no part of it. I feel bad. I don't know. There's nothing you can
do. Apparently, there's a video of Ian Poulter and Billy Horschel getting spicy on a putting green somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure. Horschel has no time for it either, man. No time.
So this is the beginning of their calendar, or is this the end of the DP World Tour calendar?
No, it's close to the end. Their playoffs, if you will, extend into early November. There are some big events on that tour now, which is how some of these guys, the Rahms and the McIlroys of the world, will qualify to keep their cards because they didn't play a lot of DP World Tour events. You got to play four, so they've played two before today.
Just give me a PGA Tour versus LIV final pairing. That's all I ask for.
Gosh, I think Rory's too wrapped this week. He's too wrapped in it this week. Although it would be great to see him continue this run. Chip, you're the best, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com, Cover 3 podcast moderator. The best. Those are great Rory McIlroy quotes. Those are spicy.
I'm all for petty.
Scotch bonnet, that's like a 9, I think.
Scotch bonnet?
A Scotch bonnet pepper.
Oh.
It's like a 9. I actually think it's closer to ghost pepper.
Okay.
But it's not quite Carolina Reaper. He didn't curse.
I don't go anywhere near that.
Do you don't like spicy peppers?
I don't mind some spicy, but that would destroy my stomach.
Did you do the one chip challenge? I didn't do the one chip challenge.
No, I did not.
I had heard that was really bad.
Maybe I did. I don't remember. Maybe I erased it from my memory.
You would probably remember it if you did it, sir.
Probably.
All right, let's go.
Your halftime entertainment.
All right, 6 on the board today.
Well, I was,
that's fine.
I was injured.
Yes.
I was injured on the pitch.
That's what the Carolina Reapers will do to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I know I mentioned this about a week or week and a half ago about Regal Cinemas possibly filing for their parent company, Cineworld, filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and they officially have done so down in Southern District, in U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of Texas. Is where they have filed. Now, Regal Theaters are still going to be open. You can still go watch stuff, but they have talked about how there are some different ways they might restructure. Basically, it's a way for them to restructure things to get out of the debt.
Right.
Essentially is what it is.
To not pay all the creditors.
Yes. So there's some ways for them to
America.
Get out of it. Yeah. Yes. There it is for you. Now, there was the thought, as the pandemic slowed down and theaters opened back up, there would be some sort of return to normal when it comes to movie theaters because people will want to get out of the house. Now, we did see some big movies such as Spider-Man No Way Home. Obviously, Top Gun Maverick has done really well. Seen a few other ones, for mostly like a lot of Marvel or like The Batman. Some of these bigger blockbuster films, but overall numbers still aren't great for theaters because, honestly, the streaming services made things so convenient
home. Just wait.
They
show up.
They've made it so convenient. And I think that's really was what hurt theaters. I still love going to the theaters because I enjoy the experience. To me, it's the way the movie should be watched. They're built for a theater.
Well, it especially depending on the type of movie, the big screen, IMAX-ish thing.
Yeah, those.
That matters.
Yeah.
It really matters.
Yes. The movie-going experience, to me, still is the best way to watch films. But I'm realizing more and more that I'm starting to maybe be in the minority.
Well,
in that,
I don't know if you're in the minority. I don't know what the numbers are, but like a lot of movies, especially older movies, the home experience is fine.
Yeah,
but with effects and all of that, those should be experienced in a big theater, so you can feel your seat rumble.
Next movie I'm going to go see in theaters.
Which
this
is?
Coming Tuesday, September 13th, Clerks 3.
Wow.
Yep. My ticket's been purchased for a while.
I know they have been.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I'm looking forward to it. 7 o'clock, I'll be there.
Excellent.
Xbox has a new controller coming up, by the way.
Does it?
And Jack's an Xbox guy.
Yes.
So he might actually enjoy this. So it's the Elite controller, or the Elite 2. So there's different features that come with it. There's actually custom profiles you can have on the controller. So for example, one person likes things inverted, things along those lines. And there's a full-on, like, rubberized grip around the entire controller.
Ooh.
And you can actually... There's
so
some,
when you throw it against the wall...
It bounces back. It,
right. Exactly. Very good. We need those.
But you can actually adjust the resistance in the sticks. You can actually interchange the sticks and D-pads and stuff out. So, for example, you can buy the extra stuff so it doesn't wear out quite as quickly.
And the, what is the price tag on that?
A lot.
Yeah.
It's actually cheaper than the original one.
Really? Because I bought... For my older son, mm-hmm. 1 year for Christmas, I got him an Elite. I'm like, really? That's 100 and what?
Yeah. The Elite 2 standard is 130. But
oh,
you...
that's less than the,
yeah,
than the
exactly.
first one.
Exactly. It's cheaper than the first
Interesting.
One. Yeah. But if you want to get the complete component pack, it's an additional $60.
That's fine.
Just to let you know.
Gotcha.
I figure, you know, Christmas is not that far away. So I know people out there looking for things.
Absolutely.
Now you know something to get.
I'm getting Jack an abacus.
Oh, there you go. Congratulations to him. He can mm-hmm. do his math. Jason Momoa, the star from Aquaman, Game of Thrones, shaved his head.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, shaved his hair. So he actually did it in a video as a way to continue to raise, he's been very vocal about this, but raising awareness for the overabundance and use of single-use plastics and how we should reduce that. So he did it as a way to continue to raise awareness for that. But he shaved his head. Jason Momoa.
All right.
Good for him.
Did he donate his hair to something?
I don't know if he donated his hair. I'm not entirely sure.
You can do that so people can make, especially his hair.
Yes.
Can make wigs out of it. I shave my my head like once a week.
Yeah.
But like, you don't shave it completely off.
No. I buzz it. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you use a razor. No, I don't do that.
I shave it. Harry's razor.
There you go.
Yeah, much cheaper than the major brands.
Congrats.
Yeah. The blades last the same amount of time.
So I wasn't sure if to save this for in the mentions on Friday.
Okay.
But I figured I'd go ahead and do it today.
Sure.
I got blocked on Twitter for the first time today.
You got really?
I got blocked on
today?
Twitter for the first time. Yes, this
today.
Morning, actually. The who first was, time
who
I
blocked
know.
You?
So there's an account out there called Delightful Comics. It's at Delightful Comic.
Wait.
Let me finish here.
Delightful Comics?
Yes, is the name of the site. But it's at Delightful Comic is the handle for anyone out there that wants to troll this guy or these people. So Delightful Comics, I'll read their bio to you. A comic entertainment company that tweets DC and Marvel and all things geeky. I think I followed it just one time on a random thing. I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? They have about 5,300 followers. So they posted a picture out earlier of Spider-Man No Way Home. Recent movie.
Right.
And Avengers Endgame, side by side. And it's like, which one? Like, No Way Home or Endgame? So I quote tweeted it, said yes. Because I love both movies.
Right.
I just said yes. That's all I did. That's literally all I did. So I get DM from Delightful Comics. I'll timestamp this for you.
Right.
At 10:32. Delete your reply, please. Rude. At 10:33. Tweet has been deleted because of it. Delete reply, please. 10:36. Love how you trolled then disappeared. Classic. 10:45. Please delete your rude reply. I spent 10 minutes thinking of tweet and you trolled and said yes. First of all, the fact that it took you 10 minutes to think of that tweet.
What was wrong with your tweet?
I don't know. But here's the thing. Later at 11:42, please delete your yes quote reply. But I'm blocked by this person or this whoever runs this. I'm blocked. I can't even respond back.
I can't
write back. So they must be unblocking me to send me a message.
They're shouting. No, they can put it out. You just can't see it.
Yeah.
Well, everybody else can see it.
These are DMs from this account.
You should block them now.
No, I don't want to. I want to continue to receive these.
Gosh,
here's the thing.
So,
so they have an Instagram account as well, about 52,000 followers on Instagram. Right. It's a pretty decent amount. I go to look them up on my Instagram. I'm blocked on Instagram, too.
Wow.
They found
they
me and blocked me because I just said yes.
By the way, if you are Delightful Comics.
Yeah.
And you're this angry over something like that.
I know.
You're not delightful.
Exactly. So I want everyone out there to follow at Delightful Comic.
I'm not following them, but I did, on your behalf, I did troll them and ask them why.
Yes. What'd you say?
I said, I just tweeted at Delightful Comic, and I said,
oh, okay.
Why you block my man?
Did you actually quote me on that?
Rookie.
Nice.
I said, why'd you block my
man? I need everyone to go out there and just do that. Or respond to all of their posts, just say yes. I'm on a crusade now.
Yes.
For this. The fact that they kept DMing me like, oh, like look how you trolled then disappeared. Like, who's trolling who right now? Anyway, I'm on this crusade now, Adam. Right. I'm burner accounts. They're all getting made. Just respond yes to this guy on everything or whomever runs this. The CEO actually is listed in the account. It's at Dom J. Visconti, CEO. I'm guessing this is this Dom guy. Hey, Dom. What you up to, Dom?
Wow. Fantastic.
Anyway.
All right.
So that happened to me today.
I
find it hysterical.
I'm sure I have been blocked. I have blocked a handful of people, but not many.
Yeah, it's my first time. I was like, over that?
Well, I'm sure you've been blocked before. You just don't know
it. Oh, I just don't know it.
And I'm sure I have been blocked several times that I don't know, maybe more. But ultimately, as long as you're not, like, rude, and really rude.
Yeah.
Vulgar, then I'm probably not blocking
you. All I said was yes.
I'll ignore you if I want. I'll mute you.
Yeah.
So I don't have to see your stupidity. All right. Speaking of stupidity, I went 0-for. I got blanked yesterday.
Did not.
Good for you.
Thanks.
Good for you. I know your win. That was a big one.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6th, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, the President's Cup is coming to the state of North Carolina this year. In fact, it's this month. It's in a couple of weeks in Charlotte at Quail Hollow, where they normally play the Wells Fargo. They did not play it there this year. They played it elsewhere. I think they played it up in Philadelphia or in that area, wherever they played. I'm 100% sure. But they left the Quail Hollow Club alone just to kind of get ready for the President's Cup. We'll talk to Taylor Zarzer from PGA Tour Radio, who's a member at Quail Hollow, and will be doing the first tee announcements, which is pretty cool, at the President's Cup. We'll do that in a little bit. All right, we have just enough time to place bets.
Place your bets, place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Okay, you can owe me. I owe you one.
Your guy, Bo Bichette, also hit a home run.
Yeah, he did. Plus +550 on that.
That is very, very nice as you sneak closer.
Yes.
To zero.
To get back above the cut line.
Well done. All right, you start us off.
All right, doing a parlay. Champions.
Love that.
Atletico Madrid over Porto. This is a parlay.
Right.
Atletico Madrid over Porto. Barcelona. That's going to be an easy win for them.
Yeah.
Bayern Munich.
All right.
Versus Inter Milan. Give me Bayern. Give me Napoli over Liverpool. Four-leg parlay plus +1320.
Plus +1320. Here's the thing. I think I have Inter beating Bayern from yesterday because I thought that match was yesterday.
No, it's today.
Yeah, it is. The Atletico and Barca are going to win. There's no question that they are going to win. And I may or may not be doing something Liverpool-Napoli, which is in Napoli. I may or may not be doing something.
You had Inter Milan to win, correct?
Yes.
They're at plus +295 right now.
I had them, what did I have it yesterday? That's what I had, plus +295. All right, I am going to start in tennis.
Okay.
Quarterfinals, U.S. Open tonight. Francis Tiafoe, American. Told you, he's got an incredible story. You can just Wikipedia it if you like. To win his match with Andrei Rublev and have the match take more than 37.5 games to complete. I think if Tiafoe wins, It's not going to be a straight sets win. It's probably going to be four or five sets. Okay. Plus 200 there. Tiafoe to win and the match to go longer than 37 and a half games. There you go.
Okay. That's a thing.
It is a thing.
I'll take Shohei Ohtani home run plus 245.
Ah, yes. It's been a couple of days since you've done that. We'll do baseball. Braves and Athletics will play in a little less than 2 hours in Oakland. Spencer Strider, last time out he had 1,000 strikeouts, right? He struck out 16.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to go Strider, 10-plus strikeouts, Braves win, plus 230.
Very nice. I'm going to put the over under a number of DMs from Delightful Comics I get at plus 2.5.
Over.
Or over under at 2.5. I'm taking the over on that.
Yeah, but it's minus money.
Yeah, I know.
The over is minus money.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Because I actually just got a response back from
you. Them. Very nice.
Yes, I did. I don't know. We only have a minute here left. I'm actually going to go for my final one. I'm actually going to go a little bit different here. I'm going to go with... No, that game's already started. Never mind. I was going to go Eurobasketball between Georgia and Montenegro.
Wow.
That already started. No, I'll go back to a Champions League here. Give me Tottenham versus Marseille. Give me a draw plus 370.
Tottenham, Marseille, draw plus 370. Liverpool is not right. Not right. This is the third time in 5 years that Napoli and Liverpool have met in group stage.
Mm-hmm.
Liverpool has won just one of those five matches. Actually, one of those matches was a friendly. One of the four. I think it's a draw. Plus 265.
All right. Well, I actually have a plus 285.
Oh, look at that.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.